You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Southeast Michigan is culturally diverse. Certainly no question about that. It's home to more than 30 languages. In fact, in more than 600,000 homes in Southeast Michigan, a language other than English is spoken at the dinner table. The group Relato Detroit wants to help bring those immigrant or bilingual speakers into the storytelling fold. It's giving them a chance to share their stories in their language, unencumbered by providing context or translation. How does this work? Well, let's find out as we turn to Jenny DeLao of Relato Detroit to explain. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, Cynthia. Thank you for having me.
So what is the problem or what's missing that you're seeking to address with these storytelling sessions?
Sure. Well, as you set up there, Metro Detroit is a linguistically diverse place, and storytelling events are very popular here, but they are conducted in English almost exclusively. And so when you've got bilingual speakers or immigrant speakers, they are self-censoring, or they get up to tell a story and they have to translate every other word. They feel this pressure to translate, which eats into their time. What I wanted to do was create a platform to highlight this linguistic diversity and to let these people tell stories the way they would at home, without translation, without context, without code switching. Because more than 99% of the time when these speakers get up to tell their stories, through the story itself, you can follow along whether you speak the language or not. So at our events, speakers switch between English and Spanish the same way they would at home. English and Chinese, English and Yiddish, English, whatever the two languages are.
So it's often kind of a hybrid mix?
Yep. It's just the way bilingual people tend to speak naturally when they're among other people who speak their language.
So tell me, with this storytelling session you're doing at Relato Detroit, how does it work? How is it different than what people might know?
So the format is we have a featured storyteller who gets 10 to 15 minutes to tell their story based on the month's theme. And I work with that storyteller beforehand. I try to feature a different language at each event. So our first event was Spanish and English. This event that we're having in August is Yiddish and English. I'm working with Herschel Finman. And I work with them to make sure that the story can be understood by people who don't speak the language. So if I happen to speak the language they speak, then I bring in someone who only speaks English to listen and make sure they can follow along. With Mr. Finman's story, I don't speak Yiddish, so I was able to listen to him and say, okay, I understand everything. Let me make sure I got this correctly. And I've only ever had to correct one or two things or ask for clarification on one or two things. And after our first event, where the people who came to attend were primarily English speakers, nobody was asking for additional information. Everyone was following along. They were so engaged. And at the end of the event, the sense of community was amazing. It was beautiful. We shut the place down. Nobody wanted to leave. Everyone was talking and exchanging numbers. And it was just really a great affirmation of how wonderful diversity can be and how strengthening it can be to our communities to celebrate that.
That is interesting because I was trying to figure how will this work? Are you putting up walls if an English-speaking audience is sitting there and not able to follow?
No, my goal is the opposite of that. Yeah, my goal is to actually break down that wall. And I'll tell you, I'm not originally from Michigan. I moved up here from Miami, and if you ever visit Miami, you'll see all the signs are in Spanish and English. Well, when I got to the Midwest and I saw signs in Arabic and English, was the first time it actually occurred to me how a non-Spanish speaker must feel when they visit Miami. I didn't understand what any of the signs said. But what I did notice was that the structure of the buildings, the establishments, the people were just like the people back home. It was very familiar. And it got me to thinking, we have much more in common than what separates us. And language doesn't have to be a barrier. Language can actually be a bridge to bring two different cultures together. And with as many cultures as we have in the Metro Detroit area, I think it's so important to build on that.
I'm guessing that kind of exhilaration that you saw at the first event was kind of people tapping into that.
Exactly. And it's just, they're ready to. I feel like people are ready to embrace that feeling of building community, that feeling of, I think there's so much polarization and so much negativity right now that people are searching for that positivity, searching for that good community feeling.
Now, I know you've got the second event coming up Tuesday, August 8th at the Bottom Line Coffee House in Detroit. And each event has a theme, right? So tell us more about that.
Our first theme back in June was duty or deber, and our speaker was a Spanish and English speaker, and so we did a lot of promotion with Southwest Detroit and with a lot of the Latino organizations in the area to try to get a good showing from the community at the event. this next event that we're hosting in August. On August 8th, the theme is love or Liebe. The featured language is Yiddish, and so we're doing a lot of outreach to try to get that community to show up. Really what we're trying to do is create a space where people of different groups who might not necessarily bump into each other can come together and have a shared experience.
Jenny De La O, thank you so much for speaking with us and sharing your work with us.
Thank you, Cynthia.